This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Ah! Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for all that you are to us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for our life, our health, and our strength. We just thank you, God, for just being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord God, that you allowed us the opportunity to come here and gather together one more time, oh God. And Lord God, we just thank you that you watched over us all night long, that you kept your hand of protection over us, oh God, and you kept us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And Lord God, we just thank you this morning. Now, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but Holy Spirit, I'm getting out of the way, and I'm going to let you have your way. I pray that you give me what to say. Give me how to say it for your people, oh God. And Lord God, let it be a word, oh God, that will change all of our lives. We just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord God, for the man of God of this house, my pastor, who's allowed me the opportunity to stand in this place today. And Lord God, we just thank you. We just praise you. We just give you all the glory. I come against every hindering spirit that will come to hinder this word, that will come to hinder the service, that will come to hinder your people, oh God, from receiving on today. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to echo Minister Holmes. How many of you know that there is no way that we can live without God? We tried everything else. We tried to do it our way. We've tried other things to try to make it work. And how many of you know that in the end, it all brings you back to the one that who can work it out for you? Amen. Amen. Yeah, we'll try it, but our way don't work. Amen. Amen. I have two passages of scripture. First, I say good morning to all of you, to those that may be tuned in online, good morning to you as well. First passage of scripture will be coming from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter and the 3rd verse. I'll be reading out a life application. So it reads, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. When he went by, he was despised, and we did not care." And then if you would go to Matthew 21 and 42, it reads, "Then Jesus asked them, 'Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see.'" Amen. You may be seated. And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Now I don't even know where I'm going with this here, but anyway, God will take it over. But what I believe that the Lord gave me for today to share with all of us is overcoming rejection. In the body of Christ, in our lives, I don't believe there's anyone in here today that have not experienced rejection in some form, some way or another. You know, what does rejection mean? Rejection means when you're excluded, when you're pushed aside, when I guess people don't want to have anything to do with you, you know, and then you're trying to have something to do with them. You know, and it can cover a whole lot of areas. It can cover romantic relationships, marriages, significant others, on our jobs. All of these things can cause us to feel rejected. Or maybe we have experienced rejection in some way, form, or fashion. If you come to church Sunday after Sunday, then I know that I'm not the only one that see that the people of God are not joyful. We're not excited. We're not jubilant. The word says that, you know, that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But we come and we don't expect anything. We don't come joyful, but we show up and thank God that we come, you know, to hear the word. But as God's people, I believe that it's a reason we don't come the way the word says come, that we don't come excited, we don't come jubilant, we don't come expecting, we don't come rejoicing, because we come with everything else on our mind. We come with everything else on our mind, but then I come to hear a word that'll change my life, but then when the word goes forth, I sit and I may reject the word, because if the word is for me or for you, and then I don't come to let Jesus do what he needs to do for me, and I leave right back out the same way that I've came in. So when you deal with rejection, you're dealing with pain. You're dealing with hurt. There is so much hurt in the body of Christ. I don't know what it is that we can't seem to just let stuff go. We can't seem to release stuff. You don't have to release it to people, but we do need people. It helps to vent to other people. But we have a God. We have a Savior that is waiting with open arms for us to release all of that to him. And he's the one that can do something about it. He's the one that can give you the comfort. He's the one that can take the pain away. He's the one that can take the hurt away. You know, and some of us will sit up in church and we'll hold on to stuff 20, 30, and 40 years of what somebody has done to us, what somebody has said about us, or how somebody looked at me, or whatever they've said or anything, and we hold on to that. But the word of God said, if you have an ought with your brother, go to your brother and get it right. If someone offends you, go to them. Let them know they offend you. Because guess what? Sometimes people don't know they offend other people. You know, and so if a person has offended you, or if you feel like you've offended someone, go to them. You know, and get that thing right, but we let it fester. That's like if you have, just say, you know how you get burned? And it'll leave a blister. And so it starts out as a mark. But then it turns into a blister. It festers. You know, and so if you don't deal with it, if you just let it go, because I've been told to put butter. I put butter when I get burned, you know, but if you don't deal with it, you know, it affects. If you have a blister, it can set up infection and it can poison and pus and all of this, get the oozing out of it, you know, and I ain't trying to be vulgar, but that's the same way it is with this stuff that we hold on to. You know, if we don't deal with it, guess what? It festers inside. And guess what happens? It causes isolation, rejection. It causes isolation. You go in the house, I don't want to come outside, pull the shades down, I don't want no company, don't come by here, don't call me, don't nothing. Because I'm just sitting in the house, you and the devil, playing with your mind, telling you don't nobody care about you, don't nobody love you, and don't nobody want to be around you. You go into isolation. And a lot of times it's because we don't want people to know what we're going through. And that's the first thing you have to do. You have to acknowledge what you're feeling. You have to acknowledge it. Well, I'm feeling this way. I'm hurt. It's not going to take anything away from you saying, I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. I don't feel good. I feel bad. I feel the pain. We have to admit it. But see, we be super Christians. And we try to act like don't nothing bother us. But we are spiritual beings in a human body that feels pain, that feels heartache, you know, that feels rejection. It feels things, you know, and you have a heart beating in your body. You know, it's the seat of our emotions. So we have feelings. You know, but we'll try to hide them, and then we'll come in the church. I believe that's one reason why we don't come expecting, why we don't enter with the joy or the jubilance or anything, because we coming in here to serve what we say that is our mighty God. He is a holy God, that we come to praise him, we come to lift him up, you know. But I wonder what God is saying when he see us as his people enter into his house to call ourselves worshiping him and praising him. Look at how we looking right now. Look around and just look at how somebody looking. We look sad. We look down and out. And I'll be glad when she get through. I'll be glad when she sit down. Because I really didn't come to hear. I thought Pastor Ham was going to be there. The day going to come, we going to get past that. And we're going to come for the word. No matter who's bringing it. Amen. 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 The word is not going to change for any of us. All right? God is good all the time. But we come into the house of God, we bring stuff with us, you know, and God is here, and he's here every Sunday, you know, to help us, to relieve us of all of those things that we're carrying. When they were singing the song, you know, that I've tried, you know, burdens are so hard, you know, to bear. We don't have to bear the burdens. We have someone, the word of Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have to give our yoke and take his yoke upon us. He's died on the cross for it already, even for the rejection. When you reject it, you feel like you're not accepted. That's the opposite of rejection, is to be accepted. You don't have to answer it. What do you do in your own personal life to be accepted? How far do you go to be accepted? Because you become people pleasers. When I'm dealing with rejection, then I want to please people. You know, even if it's out of my character, not something that I would normally do, but I want to please people, so I'm going to go on and do this here. I'm going to go somewhere that I don't really want to go, but I'm going because I want to please. You become a people pleaser because you want to be accepted. And there's nothing wrong with that. All of us want to be accepted. All of us want to be accepted, you know. So it's not wrong to want to be accepted, but it's how you go about to be accepted. I believe if you can't accept, I'll be transparent. My name is Cynthia Tate. I am who I am. Now, if you can't deal with me with who I am, then that's okay. But I'm not going to change from being who I am. I'm going to love you whether you accept me who I am or not. And this is the mindset that we all have to have, because Jesus made us uniquely. None of us are the same, but yet he loves us all. And if you go back to the scripture of Isaiah 53:3, he was rejected. They rejected him. If I could read all of it, Isaiah says, "Who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal his saving power? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root in dry and settled ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance." Talking about Jesus. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance or the way he looked, you know, because of the way they had did him. The way they had beat him, the way they had whipped him. All for you. All for me. He was so disfigured that he was unrecognizable. because they had whipped him so bad. So it was nothing beautiful to look at, nothing to attract us to him. Okay? He was despised. We be despised. And if the world despises us as children of God, it's okay. Because we're living for the Lord, and if they despise us for not being a people pleaser or not doing things that they would have us to do that we know we're not to do, then it's okay to be despised. It's okay to be rejected, but we are to show the world love still. We are to show them love. We are to be lights that will draw them to Christ. But when we deal with rejection, we become bitter. There's so many bitter people in the body of Christ. Just walk by, good morning, how you doing? bite your head off. If they speak at all and just look mean all the time. I'm like, do you ever smile? You use a lot of more muscles frowning than you do smiling. Bitterness from things that have happened, things that we don't deal with. If we learn to deal with it, you know, in my own life, think I don't have pain? I have pain. But I don't let the pain stop me. I deal with it. I get what I need from God. I pray, Lord, help me. I have pain. I have struggles. Yes, Lord, I have struggles. Pain. I've dealt with rejection in my own life. But I didn't let rejection overcome me. Once I learned better, rejection will cause you to make bad decisions. Rejection will cause you to make you feel like that nobody cares. You know, it'll make you feel like being a people pleaser. I used to be a people pleaser. I was one of those. I used to be a people pleaser. You know, whatever it I did more for other people than I did myself. Because I was trying to buy friendship. I was trying to buy love. I was trying to buy all of these things, you know, because of how I was feeling. Because I wanted to be accepted. Dealing with the pain inside. Well, if I don't do this here, then they ain't going to like me. You know, if I don't do this here, they're not going to love me. But when you find out who you are in Christ, and when you find out, Ephesians 1, let me go. Ephesians 1 tells us that we are accepted in the beloved of God. He's accepted us with our messed up as we are. He's accepted us, and he loves us, because none of us in here are perfect, but all of us in here should be striving to be all that God would have us to be. None of us are perfect, but we all should be striving. You know, when you're dealing with rejection, you kind of get stuck, and you can't move forward, you know, in the things of God or in the things that God wants to do in your life. You can't move forward in it. You know, so you don't have self-worth. You have low self-esteem, and you think of yourself as nothing, and all of these things. And all of that is against the word of God, or what he says about you, because he said we are wonderfully and marvelously made and created in his image. Now, you got to change your mindset to believe what the word says about you. Now, I could be like Whoopi Goldberg, yeah, you ugly, you sure is ugly. And I could be, but the word says that I'm wonderfully and marvelously made in the image of God. He created me that, you know, so I'm beautiful. The apple of God's eye. When you begin to change your mindset and see yourself as who God says you are, then nobody can talk down on you. Nobody can call you out of your name, and you receive that and believe that that's who you are. Because you are who God says you are. You know, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're royalty, a priest, a royal priesthood. But you got to see it. Spiritual. That's who he says we are. So overcoming rejection. Now, the person that caused the pain or the person that caused the hurt could be dead and gone. But guess what? You got to forgive them still. Because forgiveness is not for the person that caused the pain or the hurt. The forgiveness is for you. It frees you. And once you forgive them, then guess what? It's over with. Do you know how many people dead and gone and people that still living ain't forgave? Still holding that against dead people. They gone. They ain't coming back. But you on earth suffering, dealing with it. You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. And so that's the key to all of it. Anybody that's caused you hurt and pain, forgive them. And sometimes you may have to go back 2 or 3 times to forgive them. I mean, there was a situation in my life that happened, and I just knew I had forgiven that person. Because I ain't see that person every day. And I just say, Lord, I forgive them. I say, I forgive them, Lord. I say, I don't want to hold it in my heart. I forgive them. Baby, it was about 6 months, 3 months, something like that. And I seen that person, I was ashamed at all the stuff that came up in me. Because I sunk just by seeing them. I was cussing in my mind. I was saying all kind of things. And it let me know, you ain't forgave them. You ain't forgave them. And so that's why I say sometimes you have to go back. Because we can go through the ritual and say, Lord, I forgive them. But when you see that person that's done caused you pain and something come up in you that you want to do them something, or cuss them out or tell them a piece of your mind that we have left, go back. And guess what happened? I went back. And when I seen that person again, I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? Even hugged them. I knew then, ooh, thank you, Lord, I done forgave them. It frees you. So it's a process to it. Don't nothing happen overnight. Because we got some stuff in us. You know, but we got to be willing to go through the process and be obedient to what God tells us to do with it. If we want to be free and be all that God would have us to be. You know, because we all dealt with pain. We all dealt with hurt. Some probably still are dealing with pain, hurt, no self-worth, unforgiveness, bitterness, all of these things. But the first thing we have to do is acknowledge. You know, you can't walk around and just act like you okay, you know, and you have this going on, you know, and that's what makes us come in the house of God with no joy, no expectation. That's why we don't have peace at night. That's why we walk the floor all night long when we don't have to. When God says, I watch over it. I don't slumber and I don't sleep. So you can sleep. He's watching over us. So you don't have to walk the floor all night long and worry about things. Give it to God. Give it to God. He's there. Man, do you not know God is just waiting to just. But we try to fix it ourselves because we want a quick fix. Sometimes God don't move when we want him to move, so we try to help him, Sarah. You know, we try to help him. Even Hagar, there are people in the Bible that dealt with rejection. Look at Joseph. Joseph, by his own brothers, you know, and it's amazing that the people that rejected, Pastor Sam said it last, it be your own people. It be your own people. People that are close to you who you never would think would hurt you are the ones that hurt you, you know. And that's why the pain is so bad, because somebody in the streets can cuss you or say something, you'll go on and forget about that. But when it's somebody close to you, and that's how we all should be in here. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are brothers and sisters. And anything that we do to each other, it should affect us. So we shouldn't be rejecting each other in the house of God or making anybody feel excluded or pushed away or anything like that. We should show love because that's God. Because God said, how can you say you love me, whom you've never seen, and then not love your brother or sister who you see every day. I ain't said that was the word. The word said that. You know, so we there are people dealing with depression. You know, all of these things with rejection. But I want to talk about, I was talking about Joseph. Joseph had been rejected by his own brothers. They threw him in a pit. They was going to kill him. But then I think it was Benjamin was the one that said, don't kill him. Let's sell him as a slave. So they sold him into slavery. But then what they meant for bad, to make a long story short, what his brothers meant for bad, God turned it around for good. And them same brothers that did that to him had to come to him for him to meet their needs. They had a famine in the land, and guess how they was going to get the food? They had to go to Joseph, the same one. What did Joseph do? He could have retaliated. He had a choice. He could have retaliated and said, remember what you did to me? I ain't giving y'all nothing. Starve and die. But what did he went and wept when he recognized his brothers, and then he made a way for all of them to come, including the dad, to where he was, long story short. But see, we want that clap back. We want to get you back. Yo, yeah, I'm going to get you, because you don't get away with doing that. See, because we think we more than what we are. We're who God says we are. We can't act like the world. And then when you have people in the church that's growing day by day, we haven't arrived. Nobody has arrived. But we're striving to be all that God would have us to be. And then when you don't clap back, when somebody does something to you, then the first thing people will say is that you weak, that you a punk or whatever, you know, because you choosing to do it God's way. Pastor Ham stand here all the time and said, nah, I can say it because I done experienced it. Baby, I'm saved. I love the Lord. I'm Holy Ghost filled. But I'm a work in progress. And I just can't stand here and say, I don't want to, Lord, but I just can't stand here and say that you just keep getting away with just doing stuff, you know, because I may clap back. I'm in a fleshly body. I'm not making an excuse, but I live in a fleshly body. And the word says no good thing dwells in the flesh. And see, we be up in here perpetrating, but baby, I can throw some hands and not hold the hands all the time. But I try not to. I try not to, because that's the world's way. I try to fight. I fight on my knees. I fight on my knees. You know, I fight on my knees. But who's to say? You never know. I never say what I won't do. It depends on what's going on. Depending on what's going on, yeah, you never know, you know. But it's my prayer that I never, you know, act the way the world acts. You know, I'm because the weapons we pray, we read the word. Those are our weapons. Okay, all right. So you had Joseph, then you had Hagar. You know, that's why I said Sarah. You know, Sarah wanted some help with this baby. You know, and I ain't going to get out. She set the whole thing up. Then Hagar had the baby, and then she rejected her. Hagar was her handmaiden. You the one told her to be with your husband. Then you got mad at her, and you kicked out. But then God had a plan, even for Hagar. He is the God that seeth me. So God seen her even in the midst of what she was going through. You had David. All he wanted to do was be there for Saul. Saul got jealous. Then he tried to kill him. David was on the run now from Saul. So people have experienced rejection all through the Bible. So it's nothing new under the sun. So when we have to deal with rejection, just know it's nothing new. It's done happened before. Before any of us were even thought of, it's done happened all to people all through the Bible whom God used. And so Jesus went through all of this here. The despisement, he went through, he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. See, you don't go through anything. I don't go through anything that Jesus can't feel. Everything that you go through, he can feel. Hebrews tells us that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by infirmities. Everything that you feel, he feels it. Everything that you go through, he feels it. He feels the happiness. He feels the joy. He feels the sadness. He feels the grief. He feels it. And that's why you're never alone. You know, and it may feel like you're alone, and this is why we isolate ourselves, but you're never alone. He's always with us. His word says, I never leave you or forsake you. You know, so Jesus was the one that he was rejected, yet it says it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. If you listen at what this word is saying, our weaknesses, our sorrows, this is what I'm saying, nothing we go through that he doesn't feel. It weighed him down. And guess what? Even when he went to the cross, it wasn't so much of what the people did by nailing him to the cross. It was his Father forsaking him, rejected him. Why did he reject him? Because he had your sins, my sins, the whole world's sins upon him. And the word of God says that God cannot look upon sin. So Jesus carried all, he had all of our sins, past, present, future, on him on the cross. And he rejected his only begotten son because he can't stand to look up on sin. So he turned his back on him while Jesus was hanging on the cross. That alone ought to make us want to praise God every day of our lives, because he did that and went through that just for you or just for me. It had to be personal. He carried our sins. He carried our sorrows. When Jesus went on the cross, he took care of everything. You know, this is why the word says that when you free, whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. We got to allow him to set us free. We bound. We captive. You know, in our mind, in our thinking, in our belief, you know, and just be free in God. But I sit up in here and I worry about what somebody going to say. Or I sit up in here and say that it don't take all of that. Baby, I've been through some stuff in my life. That's why I got a crazy praise. I give God all I got. I go the distance for him. I used to think it was hard to live saved. But baby, when I got a relationship with Jesus, I went to church all my life. My mama made me go to Sunday school, made me go to church. I wasn't getting nothing. I wasn't getting nothing. But when life started lifing, and when things started going on in my life that I couldn't handle, mama couldn't handle, brothers couldn't handle, I had to call on Jesus. And when I got a relationship with him, it turned my whole life around. So we can do stuff religiously, but until you get a relationship with the Lord, and where you talk to him and he talks back to you, and when he understands what you're going through, and you tell him things in the wee-wee hours of the night that you don't tell nobody, he knows, and he'll bring you out, and he'll bring you through, and you'll know that it was nobody but God. Nobody but God. And then you'll get the can't help it, because you know what God has done. You know where he's brought you from. You know where he's brought you through. Could have been in a ditch trying to please people. Snorting cocaine up my nose. I ain't know what I was doing. Thank God I could be an addict today. But thank God I tried it one time and didn't want it anymore. And see, that's why I don't judge people. I don't judge people. I don't get saved and come up in the church and then act like I'm all of that. I done did some stuff in my life that I'm not proud of, but thanks be unto God, it's all erased away by his blood. And now I could share a testimony of where God done brought me from to help somebody else. Because if he did it for me, he'll do it for anybody else, because he don't love me no more than he love anybody else. You live the foolish years that God kept me and brought me through it. And that's why I'm standing here today with my messed up self, because I don't have it all together. But God will call you out. He called messed up people all through the Bible when everybody was messed up. Moses had an anger problem. Abraham doubted. All of these things. People, we messed up. I'm messed up. I ain't got it together. But we'll sit up in here and we'll judge people. And you wonder why people don't come. Turn your nose up at people when they come in the house of God. But look at over your life and see where you been before you got saved. For real, for real. All of us have done things we're not proud of. We ain't gonna tell it, but I'm just transparent. I tell mine. See, when I tell mine, the devil can't use it against me. Then say, oh, did you hear what Cynthia? Oh, yeah, she already told that. Take the sting out of it. So I tell on myself. I tell on myself. So rejection. You don't need to feel that way. You don't need to feel like nobody understands or that nobody cares or that you're in this all alone. Because Jesus, when in Isaiah 53, it talks about the appearance of Jesus. This is after they had beat him and whipped him and did all of these things to him. But then when you go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, he's already went to the cross, I believe. He hadn't went to the cross. But this is when the religious leaders, they can't even answer. That's what I love about Jesus. Every time they ask him a question, he'll answer them with a question. And then they couldn't answer it. But verse 41 says, then surrounded by the Pharisees, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? They replied, he is the son of David. So Jesus responded, this is the wrong verse. I'm sorry, y'all. This is the wrong one. 21 and 42. The religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest. Then Jesus asked them, didn't you ever read this in the scriptures, that the stone rejected by the builders, who is the stone? Jesus is. He was rejected by the builders. And guess what? He has now become what? The cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone means this. Jesus has become the foundation on which the church stands, all of us stand. Jesus is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. So the very one that they rejected, the very one that they whipped, the very one that they accused of all kind of things, they called him the devil and all of these things, the very one has now become what? The cornerstone. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. So this is what the Lord has done. So Jesus was rejected by many of his people. Many of his people. He was a Jew. He came to his own people, and his people what? Rejected him. A prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Because everybody familiar. Everybody know you. So what can they tell me? I remember when they was doing this or that. Because Winfield is small. So when preachers come up in Winfield, everybody know them. They know them and they familiar with them. And so guess what? They don't want to hear nothing they got to say. Because they remember when and don't remember what God has done. They remember when, but don't remember what. You know, so So he would become the cornerstone of the church, which is us. And so in the body of Christ, we all need each other. Just like our body. You got the hands, the arms, the fingers, the toes. Every part is needed. You know, and if one part is not functioning, it's gonna throw the whole body off. So this is why the stuff that we hold on to, we have someone that we can give it to. We have someone who's willing to take it. We have someone who's willing to deal with it. Well, we don't have to deal with it. Well, we can be about his business and not focus so much on what's going on. Or we gonna feel it, but we don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to get to the point to where we're depressed. We don't have to get to the point to where we're worrying about it. He said, take no thought, you know, what you're gonna eat, what you're gonna drink. You know, I take care of the birds, you know, the lilies of the field. Everything is doing what it's supposed to do. If we would just allow him to work it out in our lives. You know, the song says, Jesus can work it out. Yeah, Jesus can work it out. How many like that song? It's an old song. So how many believe it? That problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I prayed and I prayed. Jesus can work it out. He can. Baby need prayer shoes. He's a provider. He can provide. You know, give it to Jesus. Put it in his hands. You put it in his hands, he can do a lot more with it, you know, than you can. You know, but we have to admit it, you know, that when things are going on with us, don't wait, because it festers. And when it builds up inside of us and we don't deal with it, it turns to others. So I always call them cousins. Cousins attach. Because if you get angry, the word of God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Get it right. Because if you do, then guess what? You're going to wake up angry the next day. Then you're going to be biting other people's heads off. You know, and then somebody might clap back with you. Then that go. And then bitterness sets in because you still haven't dealt with it. And all of these things, they attach. You know, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of these things on the inside. So Jesus can't live in our heart when we got all this other stuff in our heart. So something got to go. And I know we don't want Jesus to go, so we got to let the other stuff go. So where Jesus can expand and then be greater in our life, you know, than what he is. And he desires to do that. You know, everybody in here has something to do. God has something for you to do. Yep. He's like, me? Yes. Yes. Yeah, but I done did so much, yeah. And you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. And you can still be used for kingdom building. You know. And see, you got to forgive yourself as well. You have to forgive yourself. As you forgive others, you have to forgive yourself. You know, yeah, we make mistakes. We mess up. We do things. And then we're sorry for it. But forgive yourself. If you can go back and change it in the next 5 minutes, I understand. But if you did and you can't change it in the next 5 minutes, you got to let that thing go. You got to let it go. That helped me get through it. I can't change it. It's been 10 minutes up. I can't change it. Yeah. Ain't nothing I can do with it. You know, it's all in how you see it. You know, all in how you see it. So the stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. And Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for all of us. And people today, people in church still reject him. All that he did, all that he went through, 2,000 years ago he came to save mankind. God had a plan after Adam and Eve messed up. Tell you what, I still got a plan to redeem my people back to me with his only begotten son. Nobody else was worthy to go to the cross. But Jesus said, I'll go. Even though he knew what he had to face, he went anyway. You know, and so, and I could just use my holy imagination and just think how Jesus thinks and just say that I just went on the cross and I shed my blood. Father, I did your will. I did what you asked me to do for people because you love them so much. And I shed my blood for them, and they don't even acknowledge me. They don't even pray to me. They don't even talk to me. They don't even consider me. But I still died for them. I still love them. I went through pain for them. I went through agony for them. Use your imagination, a man hanging on the cross. And Jesus was in a fleshly body. With nails in your hands, nails in your feet, and you still being mocked even while you're on the cross. But yeah, he dying for the hope, he dying for you. He did that for you. He did that for you. He did that for me. And this is why when it comes to you have to make it personal, because he did it for you. He did it for me. You know. And we live any way we want to live. We don't try to do and live the way Jesus say live. We don't try to love each other in the body of Christ. We don't try to come together and connect. We don't try to come together and love each other and treat each other like brothers and sisters. But yet Jesus loved all of us enough. Where he went through much better. This stuff, what we going through on earth, ain't nothing compared to what Jesus went through for us. And so if he did all of that for us, surely we could at least give our lives to him. For real, for real. For real, for real. Because when I got saved, you're saved. I was little, I ain't know nothing. I think I was 6, 7. And I didn't know really what it meant to give your life to Christ. And I joined church because it was different back then. You had revival, vacation Bible school. You had to sit up front. They'll put you on blast if you ain't saved. Another story. But anyway, I joined at a young age. I didn't know anything about God. I was going to church because I was made to go to church. And I didn't know anything about God. And I grew up in the church. And I still didn't know God. Because after the choir get through singing, I couldn't tell you nothing the preacher said. But I could tell you everything they sung. So I would go because the singing was good. Then I sung in the choir. And I began to like do things, you know, in church and still didn't know God. You know, so you have people that's functioning even in positions that still don't know God. But because we're in positions, but when you get a relationship, for real, you're going to know why you're doing what you're doing for God. You're going to know why you're doing what you're doing. And it doesn't matter what anybody think, you know, because you'll find out where you're supposed to be. But Jesus went through all of this, you know, for us, the pain, agony. So when are we going to stop fighting each other? When are we going to start loving each other? Not for me, but for Christ. For Christ, you done so much for me. That's the least I could do is love my brother or sister. That's the least I could do is treat everybody right. That's the least I could do is to lend a helping hand to somebody that need it. That's the least I could do is not judge somebody, because the drunk that may be in the ditch, maybe the one you called to be a preacher, to minister to me. But I sit up in here with my sanctified Holy Ghost filled self and judge them and pass right by them and think that they're nothing. We had it this morning in Sunday school. Zacchaeus, tax collector, cheating people. Zacchaeus got up in a tree because he was short. He got up in the tree so he could see Jesus as he came by. But Jesus had already seen him because Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And he saved him because Zacchaeus was lost. Turned his whole life around. The same money he was taking and robbing people from, he said, Lord, I give back 100-fold of what I took from them people. A changed life when you encounter Jesus. And that's the question that I asked this morning. How long is it, do it ever come a point, or it should come a time in our lives when we say, I just can't do it anymore. I just got enough. I'm just tired of being like this. I'm just tired of acting like this. I'm just tired of talking like this. I'm just tired of being this way. It ought to come a time, if you have any God in you, it ought to come a time where you're going to ask yourself that question. I'm just tired of being like this. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. He got tired. He had heard about all that Jesus was doing, and he got tired. I got to make a change in my life, you know, and so that's what he decided. But Jesus loves you. You know, people are going to be people. People are going to say things. People are going to do things. But don't let that have control over you, what people do or what people say. What matters is what Jesus says about you. That's what matters. And somebody could say, what that wig wearing Cynthia? Something. And I could take it and be offense. I could take offense with it and say, what? Hey, it's my head. I do what I want to do. You know, but you know what I do? I laugh. I choose to laugh and say, yeah, girl, ain't no telling what can I have on tomorrow. And it's over with. It's just how you respond. Some people just be waiting on them to say something to me. We can't be like that. You know, so you just got to laugh with them. It's just your perspective, the love for people. Don't be easily offended, you know. Take it and find something joyous out of it, you know. So Jesus loves you, you know. People going to be people. Can't stop people from talking. Can't stop people from saying nothing. You can't make people love you. You can't make people accept you or whatever. But know that Jesus accepts you. If nobody else accepts you, know that Jesus accepts you. And know that Jesus loves you, and he's there for you. So if you're dealing with rejection or hurt or pain, and you want to come and bring it to Jesus, now is your opportunity to do so. He's willing and able to take it all away.